25B3, Chafei Amid Beis. Okay, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines from the bottom of the page.
25B3,
second column. Ochafei Amid Beis, 10 lines from the end of the page. Amid Avid Avid said, the Gemara is just talking about those people disqualified as Edim, or Dayanim. And the Gemara is saying about Rei Baka, the Mishnah said that cattle people, shepherds and cowherds, they're not kosher as witnesses. So Gemara says, Amr Ava, Reya Sha'amru, the Reya that we're talking about that's disqualified from being a witness, Echad Reya Behema Dakav, Echad Reya Behema Gassim. Whether they're small animal shepherds or big animal shepherds. Okay? In other words, larger animals, like he says, cows and horses, small animals are sheep and goats. So regardless, in both ways, they're not kosher to testify. Why? Because they lead the animals to other people's land and they steal. The grazing.
What about people who are selling there?
Selling what?
Sheep and cows.
What's wrong with that?
Those
like in this, huh?
Those are okay.
Yeah, just the shepherd. No, the reason because he steal because they go into other people's the grass and they steal. So the Gemara says, "Me, I'm a Rava Hachi." The Ravi says that Rava says such a statement. "I'm a Rava." Rava said, "Reya be medaka be'etz Yisrael. Shepherds of small animals in Eretz Yisrael, apostle." In outside of Eretz Yisrael, they're kosher. I'll explain in a second why. The big animals. Even in Eretz Yisrael, the big animal shepherds are kosher. In other words, like this. What the Gemara says, in Eretz Yisrael, the Chachamim made a lot of takonis for the benefit of the country. Like Ezra made 10 takonis, whatever. So the Gemara said, you're not allowed to raise cattle, raise sheep, especially, in near normal settlements. Why? And the Gemara differentiated between big animals and small animals. Small animals can escape much easier than big animals do. So big animals you control. They're in the barn, you control. They don't just run out because they, you know, there's small openings. The sheep get out, the goats get out. Cows and horses don't get out. So the Gemara Rav said that if you're Behema Dak in Eretz Yisrael, you're possible. Why? Because we assume the animals go out, they sneak out, and they go graze in other people's fields, and you're responsible, the shepherd is responsible. But Behema Gasa, even in Eretz Yisrael, is kosher, because they don't wear out. So the Gemara asks, here Rav says, Echad Behema Dak, Echad Behema Gasa, whether it's a small animal or a big animal. It's possible. And Rav over there clearly says, Behema Gasa is kosher. And here he says it's not kosher. The shepherds of a big animal. So Gemara says, How be Megadam Itmar? He's speaking about people who raise animals in the stall. In other words, a person who raises these animals in the stall, he is a kosher witness. Huh? Stable. Says, Hochenami Mistabra. Because Gemara says it's logical to say that's what it means also. Why? Because it says in the Mishnah, he says, if the three people are believed upon me, yeah? So it says, my love, this mistami means to testify. And the Gemara says that without the litigant accepting them, they're not allowed to testify, right? What does the Mishnah say? That if a guy says, these three shepherds, I accept them, so we accept them. That means if the guy disagreed, you can't accept them because they're not kosher people. Right? So you see, I, over here it says that they're good. So obviously the difference is if they're grazing in other people's lands or they're raising it up. So Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. It means Ldina for judgment. And over there it has to do not with stealing, but it has to do with being learned. Meaning like this. To be a witness, you don't have to be learned. but you have to be religious. To be a judge, it's more important to be learned. So the Gemara is saying, when the Mishnah said, these three shepherds are trusted for me, right? The Gemara probably means for witnesses. So you see that they're not kosher. So Gemara says, no, it can't be. Because it has to be speaking about judgment. Why? He said a very interesting reason. Deikanami, I'll even prove it to you. Next page. Diktani shleishirei bakar. It said, what does the Mishnah say? When the guy says, three shepherds are trusted for me. Now for witnesses, you don't need three, you need two. Three is a bezdin. So it's, if you're talking about edus, why do you need three? So obviously he's speaking about judgment. So the Gemara says, Elamite dinos, if it's speaking about din, my irish leishabari bakr. Why does it speak about three animals, shepherds? He says, kobe tlosid legomer dinahu. Any three, why does it say shepherds? Any guy wouldn't be acceptable. Meaning like this, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that the three, if a guy says, I accept upon three shepherds to be a judge. So then is there acceptable? Right?
You're not learning.
But the guy accepted him, so it's good. But the Gemara asks, why, if it's speaking about unlearned, why does it speak about shepherds? It should speak about any unlearned person. Why does it mention shepherds? So it implies that the reason is because they steal. Right? So if they steal, then L'cheira, Rava said they're still kosher. The Gemara says, Hachi kamar. Even those who are shepherds who are normally outside of the city, they're not normally involved in a city, the din is, they're also not allowed.
Why are the shepherds stealing? Why are the shepherds thieves? The biggest Moshe Rabbeinu was the shepherd, Yaakov was the shepherd.
Yeah, but that's why Avraham had muzzled, and therefore, yeah. Stamrei Bakr has to prove they're kosher. Otherwise, they're normally not kosher.
This is not they had. You know, they do something. You cannot control the...
Yes, they do. They take the sheep to graze.
Sometimes they cannot do that. You know,
they do.
They run away and they go to the other
They run place. Away, then it's not their fault. We're speaking about intentionally they take the animals to other people's fields.
So, Rabin, where would they take their animals for... grass.
They would have to feed them in the barn.
Or their own field.
Or their own field. Yeah. What did Avram shepherds do? They're muzzled. Eliezer went with the camel, was muzzled. Why? Because they didn't let them meet in any other place.
So actually they stood out.
Yeah.
Because they were good in between all the thieves.
Right. In fact, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, the Gemara says, Take, Stam Rayim, Pasul. Okay? Stam Araya is not kosher. One second. Stam Gabe kosher. But an ordinary tax collector is eligible. Okay. What does this mean? It means like this. And the Gemara is going to elaborate on this now. Tax collectors normally is a problem. Because they would overtax people and pocket the money. They're hired by the government.
No, in Iran, they
own 99% of them. Okay, so that's what the Gemara said. No, but here the Gemara says, Tam. In fact, we'll see it discussed. The Rishonim ask, it doesn't make sense. But tax collectors were against stealing.
Yeah.
Actually, the government said you have to take $100. They took $125. And they pocketed the extra money.
Penalty.
So that's why it says before, the meches, the tax collectors, all that is not kosher. But a shepherd is also a ganef. Yeah? But Rav Yehuda says, if you don't know, you don't know about the shepherd and you don't know about the tax collector. So Rav Yehuda says, if he's a shepherd, stam is possible. Unless you know for sure he's good. Tax collector is the opposite. He's kosher until you prove differently. Okay? So the Gemara asks, the Mefarshim asking this, if a tax collector is disqualified, when he overcharges, why did the Chacham say a tax collector is not kosher in the Mishnah? Okay? So Taisus explains that he's biblically disqualified. That means because he's mamash a stealer. But the Chachamim said that if he repents, even if he repents, okay? Even if he repents, he's still a ganef. As long as he still has that job. The job by definition means you steal.
Even if he repents, he's still a thief?
Yep.
That's a big statement.
But the Gemara says no. The Mefarad Rishenim explain the difference is between shepherds and tax collectors. Shepherds do things far away from the people. So they can see, nobody's looking. They can steal whatever they want. Tax collectors are in the city. It's very hard. It's harder to steal, as this is what the Yad Rama explains. It's harder to steal as a tax collector than it is as a shepherd. A shepherd is out from the, in the field, so he can do whatever he wants. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda said, Stam shepherds are pasul, Stam tax collectors are kosher.
For 13 years tax.
No, 1 second. So Gemara tells a story of a righteous tax collector. Avod Rab Zera Avad Gabiusa Tleisa Shinin. He did tax collecting for the government 13 years. Okay? Kava Asa Reish Nara Lamasa. When the district chief would happen like this, the government would send chiefs to the cities and they would say how many people are in the city. And based on that, they levied a tax on the city. That's what they would do. They would come to the city, take a census, count how many people. Based on that, that's how much they charge. So Rab Zeira's father, what he did was like this. When the guy would come, so he said like this, Ki avachazir rabbanin, when he would see the scholars in the street, Amale leich imei beibach adorecha. Leich ami, go my people, hide in the rooms. He basically said, go hide. Because if you hide, they're not going to count you as people and will be able to have less taxes. When he saw a regular, average, not a scholar, a regular person, he didn't say it directly. He said, the district chief has come to the city. Today he will slaughter the father in the presence of the son, and the son in the presence of the father. Meaning he's going to make a high tax. What did he do like this? And the Gemara explains the difference between what he told scholars and what he told the regular people. The scholars, he said clearly, go hide. Go hide. He told them, Leich, go hide. The other people, the lay people, he didn't tell them, go hide. He said, alright, the guy's coming to slaughter the parents in the presence of the, you know, he alluded to the fact, go hide. Why didn't he say it clearly like he did Tamir Chachamim? Because he knows the Tamir Chachamim are not going to snitch on him. Because the tax collector got blamed. If anything went wrong, who got blamed? The tax collector. Right? So Rab Zeira didn't want to get blamed. He was afraid the lay people might snitch to the government on him that he's telling people to hide. And then he would have a big problem. He didn't want that. Tatamir Chachamim, he knew we're not going to snitch on him, right? So he told him clearly, go hide. But the other people didn't say clearly, go hide. He said, you know, he said in a hint, they're going to come snitch and there's going to be a big problem. So what happens? Omigna say kulam, and everybody heard his warning and they hid. He also, when the chief came to the district, Amar, he said, Rab Zeira's father would say to him, Miman Niva Yehushk, look, there's nobody here, who can I collect the funds from? There's nobody here to collect the money from. So he was a very honest tax collector, but the Gemara's not done yet with the story. So Rab Zeira's father told the people to hide, and then when the guy came, he said, hey, I can't, who is, there's nobody here to take from, what do you want from me? Then Gemara says like this, Kinach Nafshei, listen to this. When Rab Zeira died, when Rab Zeira's father died, Shakula Treisa Meyat Zayrila Besidna, he took 13 more. More than a large amount of money. Bahadir Al Yilpani, he said like this. He told the people on his deathbed, there's a sack of money. I want you to give it back to this and this guy. Why? The shaklin zeminei, because I took taxes from him, but I itzrichli and I didn't need to. Meaning, what was the story? The tax collector came to the city and said, I need $1,000 from the city. Okay? So the tax collector would go collecting from the city. After he had the full amount of $1,000, this guy brought him 13 ma. So he didn't have to give it to the tax collector because he paid up the debt already. He gave the 1,000. So normally, what did the tax collectors do? They pocketed the money. Yeah? So Rav Zeir on his deathbed had the money still there. He didn't plan to take it. And on his deathbed he said, give the money back to this guy because they didn't take the tax from him. So it's his money. Give it back. So the Gemara gives an example of an honest tax collector that didn't pocket money. Who was it? Rav Zeir's father.
Who was this Rav Zeir?
Rav Zeir was a very great sage. He once went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. He fasted, you know, all those fasts to forget everything he learned. Rav Zeir was one of the biggest Amiroim. First he was in Bavel, then he went to Eretz Yisrael. No, from the greatest Amiroim of the Gemara. Sometimes he's called Rav Zeir, and sometimes he's called Rebbe Zeir. The things he said when he was in Eretz Yisrael, he's called Rebbe Zeir. The things he said in Bavel, he's called Rav Zeir.
So this is before the second Beit
HaMikdash? No. Way after.
The Yud is the Chochma,
Rabbeinu? All of the Gemara, Yud is the people that just saw it because of Chochma. No, the Gemara was way after the Chochma.
No, but Rav Zeir was...
He went out to saw after the Chochma. Rabbi Yud HaNasi was also after the destruction. Three generations
right.
After the destruction.
Right.
And he was a Talmud, he was a Shtikl Talmud of Rebbe, but a Talmud really of Rebbe's student. Mm-hmm.
We still had
Yidden
living in Babel even after the second.
Sure. The whole era of the Gemara is after the Churban Beis HaMikdash.
Second.
Yes, second for sure.
No. They used to go to
Hillel lived 100 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Gemara says. Okay? Hillel lived 100 years before the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. But Hillel was from the earliest Tanoim. Right, then you have all the whole evolution after Hillel had a son, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Ram Gamliel, and Rebbe and all that, and these are even after them. The whole era of the Gemara was after, even Mishnah was compiled after the Beis HaMikdash.
Why didn't his father return the money to that person right away? Why did he wait till the?
I don't know why he didn't. Because it could be.
I know we don't work on ribbons, but there's a. Value, monetary value, and the amount of time you hold
on
to money.
It could be number one. It could be he did it right before he died. I mean, the Mepharshim don't say what happened, but it could be that why didn't he give it back right away? It could be that there was right away when he was dying. Maybe it was right away after he took it. There's no reason to keep it.
The rabbis had the chokhmah. What is the halacha for rabbis?
Huh? What?
Rabbis are from Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
They had the Chochma.
Yeah. Ain't Teretzitzro. Because my Machshaka Meshivani, because it was a different style of learning. Okay, Amr Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon said, one of the things the Mishnah said, also people that sin, and therefore rabbinically, they're not kosher. It says in the Mishnah, Eisvei Shvius. The Mishnah said like this. Initially, they called these people, the people that did business in Shvius or worked in Shvius. The Mishnah said like this. Betchila, initially they called the people Shvius gatherers. And then when the people oppressors increased, they called them Shvius merchants. That's what the Mishnah said. Yeah? So the Gemara says, what? Oh. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amen Abshimon said, this is what Rav Shimon said in our Mishnah. Initially, they called the people Shvius gatherers. Okay? When the opposers increased, oppressors, then they called them Seiches Shvius. So what does that mean? But my comment, what does the Mishnah say? Amen of Yudah Hachi comment. Betchilo Yoeminim, initially the Chachamim said, Eisvi Shvius Ksheidin, people that gather the Tvu of Shemitah are kosher. Seichrei psulim. But the people that do business are puzzled. Okay? Now, the story is like this with Shemitah. Shemitah, the Torah says, the field is hefker. Okay? It belongs to everybody. It's not your field anymore. Whatever grows in the field belongs to everybody. Now, one can keep the fruits in their home as long as there's similar things out in the field. It means, as long as the poor people have a right to get it, you can take things into your house also. Once those things are not in the field anymore, you have to, as it says, be arti hakedish min abayis. You have to take it out and put it back into the fields because it's hefker. Now, people that didn't make business out of it, they were honest. Because you're allowed to. You're allowed to take the fruit into your house.
Perfect.
But you can't do business with Shemitah because that means it's yours. You can't profit from Shemitah if it's hefker. You can take it into your house as long as there's stuff out there in the field for everybody else. Once there's nothing left in the field for everybody else, you have to bring the stuff out, right? But to make business with it, that you're not allowed to do, because then you're showing you're going against the law of Shemitah. You're showing that it's yours and you're making business out of it. Okay, so he says like this. So, B'tchila yo'emin manishli chachamim said, Eis is shvius k'sheidin, but the business people are awesome. Mishadob mamsi moris laniyim, but when they increased the people would offer money to the poor. What people used to do, they would give money to the poor people, because they didn't want to go into their own field and gather the grain, because they weren't allowed to, it looks bad. So they would give money to the poor people, and tell them, go gather the stuff and bring it to me. Basically, the hired workers to bring the stuff that they weren't allowed to do. Okay, so Chazru Leimer, so then the Chachamim said, not only the business Shemitah people are not kosher, even the gatherers are not kosher, because they used to hire people to gather, and that wasn't allowed to be done. So it says, so the people of Rachva asked a question on Rav Yehuda. Okay? He said, why does the Mishnah call them Anosim? Anosim means the people that forced you to sin. It's called Bisharaba Tagrimi Boile. Why does the Mishnah, if you're telling me the Mishnah means that they would hire people to bring in the Shemitah things to the house, that's not called forced oppressors. It was called business people. So why does the Mishnah say, when the Anosim multiplied, when there were more oppressors, according to you, they weren't oppressors, they were business people. So why does the Mishnah call them that? El Betchi says no. El Betchi lo yoyim, initially he learns differently in the Mishnah. The Chachom initially said, Echodzev psulin. Whether you gather Shvius, whether you sell Shvius, you're not kosher. Misherob or Anosim, who are they? Areino, tax collectors. Okay? Then, like the Gemara says, like Rabbi Yannai said, Pulki v'zore b'shviyas mishum arneino. It's interesting. Shemitah, let me explain this then properly, you should understand what the Gemara is saying. Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael is biblical only at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, it was rabbinic. Shemitah today is rabbinic. I mean, it's bad enough, but it's rabbinic. It's not biblical. The not only did the government send tax collectors, they sent produce collectors. They sent produce collectors. So that in certain towns, if they didn't get enough produce, the government would punish the people. So what did they do during Shemitah? Nothing grew. They're not going to be able to produce tax for the government. So Rabbi Yannai said to the people, Pulku v'zaru b'shviz, go plant, because b'shun arneino, we need to pay the government tax producer, collectors. So chazru leimer, then they said again, they changed the mind, they said the opposite. Eisveik shadim, the people that gathered the Shemitah are kosher, because they were forced to do it because of the government. But the seichrim were pasul, and the business people were us. Meaning like this. Initially, the Chacham said, anybody doing anything in Shemitah is not kosher. Because it's sinning, right? It's rabbinic stealing, but it's stealing rabbinically. You're not allowed to do it. Then it came a point that the Chachamim allowed the people to plant Shemitah. because only rabbinic. So the Chachamim were makel, they were lenient, because otherwise the Jews would get punished for not producing the tax on the produce. So then the Gemara said, the people that gathered during Shemitah, they're kosher. Because they were forced to do what they did. They didn't want to do it. Because of the government, they were forced to do it. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. The Anosin, the people that were forced to plant during Shemitah and gather the grain during Shemitah because of the government, because they were forced to do it, they were kosher witnesses and judges. But the people that did business, they're not kosher judges or witnesses.
The people who planted actually was kosher for business, not kosher.
Correct. But the ones that did it because the government forced them, that's a different story.
Two questions. We wouldn't have been enough excuse to say, we don't do this on Shabbat. Sorry.
They didn't care.
They didn't care, right?
What should they care?
These were Romans?
You're talking about Romans. You're talking about, what do you think, buddies?
After the Korban.
This is when the Jews were under Roman leadership.
And then later on, under Turks.
Correct. So the Mishnah says, therefore, the apostle to be judges and witnesses, because they're ganavim. But again, the Mishnah is talking about all rabbinic stealings. The Gemara is going to get there later in the Gemara. Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. Rab Chiya bar Zernuki, okay, Gemara tells a story like this. Rab Chiya bar Zernuki, Rab Shimon ben Yitzadak, have a ka'azel l'abe Hashanah. They went during the Shemitah year, they were driving to Chutz La'aretz to figure out if they need to make a leap year or not. Now the Mefarshim right away say, leap year only had to be done in Eretz Yisrael. But they went to Chutz La'aretz to help calculate these two rabbis. Pagabu Reish Lakish. So they, as they were traveling, they bumped into Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish also lived in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan wrote Talmud Yerushalmi. So these were in Eretz Yisrael. Pagabu Reish Lakish Yitapa Badayu. So he joined them. Why did Reish Lakish join these scholars? Amar Ezel Ech Sehecha Avda Uvda. Let me see how the way they figure out. Reish Lakish wasn't part of the Bezdin. But he said, let me figure out how they calculate whether you need to make a leap year or not. So while they were traveling, Chazal O'Gavra de Kokodiv, Reish Lakish saw a man plowing during Shemitah. It was a Shemitah year, right? So they're going together on the road, and Reish Lakish sees there's a guy plowing during Shemitah, which is forbidden. Amar, so Reish Lakish said to the other two, Kayin v'chayrish, this man is a Kayin, and he's plowing, okay? Now, why is he called? He wasn't a Kayin, this guy. Why did he call him a Kayin? Because Kayinim were Choshud, they were suspected of planting during Shemitah. Why? Why? Because Kayinim thought, listen, if we eat Hegdish that nobody else is allowed to eat, so we can eat Shemitah also. That's what Kayinim thought. Kayim said, no, Shemitah doesn't apply to us. Because we eat things that nobody else is allowed to eat. Karbana is this, truma.
There was no hekdesh, there was no truma at this point.
Yeah, there was truma. In Eretz Yisrael, they had truma.
Yeah,
but that's the mistake they made. They said, listen, we eat karbanas, we eat this, so we can eat Shemitahs. So even though this guy wasn't a Kayin, but Reish Lakish said to the other two, look at this Kayin plowing. What did Reish Lakish want? The two should admonish the guy. Right?
How did you know he was blind?
No, Reish Lakish wasn't blind. No, Rav Sheshis was blind.
Rav Yosef
was blind. No.
I thought across the river he came across the river.
Yeah, but he wasn't big. He was strong.
Oh, strong, not big.
Rav Papa was big. There are a number of sages in the Gemara. The Gemara says were big. But
Rav Yochanan was big.
Rav Yochanan was big.
He was a gangster, no?
Originally. At this stage, he was a great Amir of the Gemara.
But doesn't the Kohanim know this is a simple halacha that...
They said, it's B'Bamim B'Drabanan, whatever, they said they were lenient about it. Okay. So what did Reish Lakish see? Reish Lakish see the way this guy's plowing during Shemitah, and he turns to the other two rabbis that he joined, like, hey, look what this guy, go admonish him. Amrulay, so he said to Reish Lakish, Yachol Leimer and Skin Ani Beseichai. Why assume that he's getting a sin? He said, why don't you say, I'm only a worker in the field, an employee in the field. It's not my own land. Maybe it's a non-Jewish land. This is what the two rabbis said. Why are you looking at him negatively? Reish Lakish right away suspected the person is sinning. So the other two said, why? Maybe he's a worker in a non-Jewish owned field, where the laws of Shemitah don't apply, and it's not his field, he's working. So then he kept on walking, and he saw a guy was pruning a vineyard during Shemitah, which is also not allowed. So again, Reish Lakish said to the other two, Kayin Vizimer, it's a Kayin, again, the Kayin suspected, and he's pruning a field. You know, go tell him. So the two rabbis said to him, why do you say he's sinning? Maybe I'm cutting the vines because I need a net for the olive press, which was allowed to do because it was just to make a net. In other words, he wasn't pruning a tree to cut the tree. He was pruning, he needed a net. So the Reish Lakish said to them, Halev Yedea, the man's heart knows, Im la calculus whether he is doing it for sinning or not. What? Im la ekel, im la calculus. If he's doing it for netting, or he's doing it because he wants to sin. In other words, Reish Lakish was upset by them justifying the person.
How can you judge someone? I mean, is it his chuto? They have the chut. He's already judged.
So he brings out the bottom interesting. The Chofetz Chaim says that l'chayre, you have to judge somebody fair. Tadnus chaver, you know, the kavs chus. Yeah, tadnus call on kavs chus. So he says like this: if you could judge an act good or bad, you judge it good. But an act that looks bad, and you have an obligation to admonish him. You have an obligation to admonish him. You can't say when you see somebody doing an aveda, there's a mitzvah terechech techech hasamisacha, right? You have to admonish your friend. So the Chofetz Chaim asks, okay, there's a contradiction. You have a mitzvah to admonish your friend. And then you have a mitzvah to judge somebody favorably. So how can you admonish somebody doing a sin? Say he's not sinning. Find some cockamamie excuse why the guy's not sinning. So he explains, no. If it's equally 50-50 that you could aveda or not aveda, so you judge him positively. You judge him l'kavzchus. But when it looks at God, like in these cases, it was obvious the guy was sinning. It was obvious the guy was sinning. So the Shlokish says to them, you have a mitzvah of the manashi. Why are you judging him the wrong way? Favorably. So what happened? 1 minute, we're not done. So the Gemara said like this. Hey, Amalu Bereisha. Okay, so one thing is like this. There are two cases in the Gemara. The Gemara is just explaining this story. There are two cases in the Gemara. One was the guy was plowing. So the rabbi said, maybe it's not his field. Then the second story came. Vineyard. And the rabbi said, maybe he's doing this for netting. He's not doing it for the tree, right? Okay, why did they answer the same answer in both cases? It's a non-Jewish field, and he's working there. Why did they answer two different answers? Right, one, to justify him. One justification was, it was a non-Jewish field, and he's only a worker, so he's not doing anything wrong. And the second, the Kuf said the same thing by the second one. Right? It's a non-Jewish field, and he's not doing anything wrong. But they didn't answer that. They answered, maybe he just needs the netting. So the Gemara analyzes which story happened first and second. Because if the second story with the netting happened first, then it makes sense why the second story they said he's working, it's a non-Jewish field. And the Gemara is going to explain why. But if the first story happened first, and he answered a non-Jewish field, he could have said the same thing by the second one. So Gemara's analyze which story happened first, that the rabbis, because it's interesting, to justify the guy, they could have said the same answer to both cases. It was a non-Jewish field.
Or we could say there's many more than one reason.
No, but yeah, but that's not what they told him. So Gemara says like this. Hey, Amalu Bereisha. Which case happened first? Ilei Malkamaisa, the first about the plowing. So Ahani Namilem Agistin Ani Besechei. They could have said also the same thing about the second story, that he's a Goyish worker. Elaha Amalu Bereisha. First the case was about the netting. And then they said about the plowing. Why like this? The first case with the net, they had a different way of justifying him. It could even be his field, but he just needed a net. Then the second net with plowing, you can't say he needed a net. Why is he plowing? So they answered him, and it wasn't his field. And said, so first, the Gemara says the second story really happened first. And the Gemara is not telling the order of the stories.
Right.
First was with the pruning the tree.
Whatever
the tree was. And they said he needed a net. Because then it's easier to justify that than to say it's a Goyish owner and he's working there. Like, why should a Jew be working for a Goy?
In
Eretz Yisrael. What?
He says it was olive tree.
Yeah, okay, that's because the pruning the olive tree. What?
I don't understand. Can I ask you one question before you?
What?
You don't save Sikresha by pruning, you know. If he's cutting it because he needs the goof of the item, you don't say by default you're also pruning.
No. Pruning is only forbidden if it's beneficial for the tree.
It is beneficial.
It wasn't beneficial for the tree.
It's not,
because Lepel, what he did was not an Avodah, which is only done for the tree. What's forbidden in Shemitah is to do it only for the tree. Oh, your Kavan is for the tree.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. So if it's only for the tree, then it's Asur. But if you have another reason, so
then it's Mutter.
Even though the tree is benefiting by...
Correct. It's all Kavana. It's all the Kavana.
That's right.
Right.
I don't understand this piece at all.
External and internal.
Both reasons.
But why we explain this last piece you're explaining? I don't understand.
The Gemara says the first story happened first with the pruning. Okay, now what's a more logical excuse? A guy's working in the field. Logically, it's his field. Logically,
and not someone else's.
Right. So logically, the first case when they saw the guy pruning, right? The more logical justification would be that he's doing it not for the tree, he's doing it because he needs a net. Right? That's the more logical thing. The second case, when the guy was plowing, what excuse are you going to give him? What excuse are you going to give him? He's plowing for what?
For the benefit of...
No, so over there you must say it's not his field. In other words, which is the more logical of the two excuses?
The second.
The more logical of the excuses, the guy is doing it to need a net. Because then you say it's his field, which is logical, and that's what he's doing. The second case, he had no choice.
It's already established that he's a non-Jewish owner, the land?
No, the Chachamim justified to the Reish Lakish. What the guy did was because of that.
From his actions.
Yeah. By the way, we're not done. I mean, we're late. But the Gemara is going to say the rabbis were very upset with Reish Lakish. They didn't. They don't get lost.
This is half and so half. Half is the Kap Zechut and the other half is not.
So the Gemara asks right away, Mashna Kayin, why does the Reish Lakish say he's a Kayin planting, a Kayin prowling, whatever? So the Gemara says, Mishum Dachshir HaShviyas, Kayinim are suspected to violate the laws of Shemitah. Why? The Tanan or Tanya says in the Braise, Saw Truma Shinofla Meir Son Shal Shvius, a Saw of Truma, that fell into 100 Saw of Shvius, Tala, it becomes nullified. I'll explain in a second, one thing. Pachas Mikain, less than 100, Yirkevot should rot. Okay, meaning like this. There's a din in the Torah Truma, you know, there's but we're going to just start this. So we're going to have to do it again next week. Things are nullified. 1 in 2, 1 in 60, like treifin kosher, 1 in 60. Truma is bottle 1 in 100. That's the din. If truma falls into 90 times the amount of non-truma, the whole thing is a din of truma. If it falls into 100 or more, then the whole thing is edible. It's bottle of bemeya, it's called, okay. So it says, what happens if a saw of truma, saw is like a bushel, whatever, of truma, fell into 100 saw of shvius, tala, it's nullified. Meaning it's bottle. But by the way, the din is, you still have to take out a saw of that concoction and give it to the kohen, because it still is money. There's a saw of truma. So there's two problems. Truma, number one, is a kohen's property. It's his money. Secondly, you're not allowed to eat a mixture of truma. A Yisrael is not allowed to eat truma. So if one bushel of truma falls into 100 bushels of Shemitah, the din is, it's bottle. Meaning everybody could eat it. The whole thing. But you have to take a bushel and give it to the kohen, because that's his money, regardless. Right? What happens less, then it says rot it. Let her, the whole thing rot. So Gemara asks, sell the whole thing to a kohen. A kohen could eat this mixture. Because a kohen could eat truma. Right? So sell it to the kohen. Let's say one bushel fell into 90. Yeah, so the whole thing's truma. So why, the Gemara asks, why does it say rot? Let the whole thing rot. Why? Sell it to a kohen. Because don't forget, now there's 91 bushels, right? There's one fell into 90. Now one's the kohen's. That's his. So sell him the 91 for 90 bushels worth. For the price of 90 bushels. Why do you make it rot? So Gemara answers, because the kohenim were suspected of eating Shemitah. Okay. Yeah.